Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
2020 was the year of COVID, unfortunately, but 2021 is going to be the year where we have to deal with the COVID vaccines from a number of different countries and companies. And how are we going to make these decisions? We want to talk about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, there's a number of things that you need to consider with regards to these COVID vaccines. One is individual adverse reactions, health reactions that you might face from the vaccine itself. And two, which of the vaccines are created using aborted fetal cell. And so we're going to talk about both of these situations with regards to these vaccines. Pfizer, as you know, was the first vaccine that was FDA approved. Now, the new Pfizer analysis revealed that many volunteers who received the vaccine felt ill in the hours after the second dose, because you have to have two doses of the Pfizer vaccine, suggesting that many people might have to request a day off from work or be prepared to rest until the symptoms subside. Among those between ages 16 and 55, more than half developed fatigue, and more than half also reported headaches. Just over one-third felt chills, and 37% felt muscle pain. About half of those over age 55 felt fatigued, one-third developed a headache, and about one-quarter felt chills, while 29% experienced muscle pain.
Yeah, for example, we had a nurse in Alaska who reportedly suffered a severe allergic reaction after like 10 minutes of getting her first dose.
And note that that was not in the testing phase.
Right.
You know, I listened to something on CBN that I felt was more propaganda and misinformation, unfortunately, as good as CBN is oftentimes. It was on the vaccine, and the reporter was saying, well, don't worry that the people who get the vaccine in the United States, they're not the guinea pigs because it's been tested on 40,000 Americans. Well, I just read you some of the information from Pfizer's findings on some of the people in their testing phase. Lots of different adverse reactions. We have no idea the long-term effect of any of these vaccines. But it's not true that all of these vaccines were tested and the people that are taking these vaccines are not guinea pigs. In fact, I think that people taking the vaccines are indeed guinea pigs, because what was not tested is exactly what you just pointed out, Holly. What was not tested is the kinds of allergic reactions that people would have to one or more of the various items that are part of this vaccine makeup. And this particular story that you talked about is a nurse based in Alaska.
Right, particularly if you have other underlying conditions that could also bring this these conditions up as well.
Yeah, she experienced flushing and shortness of breath, and said that the nurse's reactions did subside after she was treated with epinephrine, which is something, if you have an allergic reaction, that's like your EpiPen. That's
right.
The EpiPen is made
like
out of, is epinephrine.
To bees being
where you have severe reactions, you inject that right now to counteract that reaction. And she had to get treated with epinephrine to counteract that kind of allergy. That was not part of the testing phase. Mm-hmm. What else is not part of the testing phase is what's impossible to be a part of the testing phase. This vaccine with different companies, and we're going to talk about the different companies in a few moments, was created in record time. It was part of Operation Warp Speed, trying to get the vaccine out, rather than having research on using current FDA-approved medicine to be able to treat it, which the FDA never even established a task force on that. And yet, now we see ivermectin very effective on treating it. It won the Nobel Prize in 2015 for treating parasitic drugs or parasitic problems. and it has been very effective in treating COVID. And it is an off-label use, and so that's what doctors and researchers do. They take drugs and they try to see off-label how can they be repurposed. And ivermectin has been one that has received a lot of studies, positive feedback. So has hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah, we interviewed Dr. Simone Gold, and she really, and her group of frontline doctors, really saying this is very effective. It's inexpensive. Of course, now the government is trying to make it more difficult for doctors to even get it to them. But
the AMA actually now has reversed itself in some of its statements regarding HCQ. And, you know, I think it was just a political pushback against HCQ that was not warranted based upon the research, and lots of research and studies around the world. It's been FDA approved for 65 years. So typically, a lot of the times when you have something like that, you take current drugs and you try to repurpose them. And there's been very little other than private researchers doing that. So there was this big rush to create a vaccine. The problem is that every one of these vaccines were, from start to finish, created in less than a year, because the first FDA approval of Pfizer was the first one, was in December of 2020. And we know that the lockdowns didn't start until March, and so we're talking about a very, very short window. Consequently, what is missing in all of these vaccines is what is not missing in the other vaccines or medicines, particularly vaccines. And what's that? It's the mid and long-term effects. Typically, what happens is when a vaccine is created, it doesn't go to market until 5, 6, 7 years or more. Why? Because they have to test it on all the different levels of people, including the elderly. You know, the elderly are going to be the guinea pigs as well, because those are the first line individuals that are going to be getting the vaccines. And yet they're the most vulnerable from COVID, but also the most vulnerable from adverse reactions to any kind of drug that's unknown. So it wasn't really tested on that level of people. And then you have to test it on all different levels, children, different people with different comorbidity situations, other kinds of allergies. But more than that, you have to determine, even if you don't have an adverse reaction now, what about 6 months? What about 3 or 4 or 5 years down the road? Do you have any other adverse reactions that develop? What happens if you got a vaccine for a particular disease or communicable virus or disease, and then you actually get later that particular disease for which you were vaccinated? Does that create a worse scenario for you, or is it less problematic? We have no idea about the COVID vaccine.
Yeah, I remember when we talked to Dr. Gold, she said it usually takes like 5 years to really research and do testing to get an effective vaccine. But, you know, here's a question that comes to my mind. What if, for example, an employer requires someone to take this vaccine? Are there exemptions?
Yeah, that's going to be a real problem, because employers have a lot of ability to do, you know, certain employment rules and policies.
But in the past, hasn't there been like religious accommodations for
vaccines? It is, particularly
vaccines?
When it is the government. Like, for example, you go to public school and you don't want to have a particular vaccine. Most states have a religious exemption. Some have a conscience exemption. All of them have a medical exemption, but it's very, very limited for the medical exemption. That's like the allergy type of people. But a lot of times you don't know that until you get a vaccine or a drug, and then you develop an allergy to it. And by that time, it's a little bit too late. So this is going to be a real issue in 2021 that we'll be focusing on. Let me just give you a quick overview. Pfizer used aborted fetal cells in the testing phase, reportedly does not have it in the actual drug that they are deploying. Same for Moderna. But AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson, they not only used it in the lab testing phase, but in their phase 3 trials, they also include it as well. So you have to determine, both from a health standpoint, are you going to take it, number one? Number two, if you decide to, does it have aborted fetal cells? AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson do. And you'll have to look at The various kinds of sources. It's not just all these vaccines are created equally. They're all competitor companies that are vying for billions and billions of dollars. We have all of the list at Liberty Counsel Action's website. For more information, you can visit lcaction.org or lc.org, lc.org. And on lc.org, our Liberty Counsel webpage, make sure you sign up for our emails that will continue to update you on this and many other topics as well, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved, lc.org.